This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. And it is the last Saturday in July, which means...
less than 4 weeks away from Football Friday.
Oh, boy. A month Football. From today, we'll be talking to our area coaches about week one.
Yes, we will. Unbelievable.
That it's flown by once again.
It does. It does.
Of course, we'll have a different feel to the football season this year in terms of the South Central Conference. They have rearranged the schedules.
Mm-hmm.
So the order of opponents that everyone has come accustomed to, wash it away.
Which is a good idea.
I think so.
I think it's a terrific idea. And I'd like to see that about every 2 years, you know, be bumped.
Have they said they're going to do that? Or are they gonna...
I don't know. So it's up to the athletic directors, basically, to get together and say, hey, that's a good idea. I don't know. Some probably like it, some probably don't.
They don't have anything else to do.
Yeah, no.
They don't have a lot of work to do. I think looking for things to do.
Well, football's the only sport.
Twiddle their thumbs most
days.
It's
not like they're looking for officials.
That's the easiest part of their job.
Well, football's the only sport that ever existed.
Well, there are days where it seems that way. There are days.
There are people that'll have you believe that too. That's the only sport that matters. It's not. But
football is unique though because it's at the beginning of the season and it's one of those community together kind of events.
Well, and with there only being one game a week, that's what changes football from basically every other sport that people like to follow in this country is.
Plus, it's at night on Friday night for the high schools, you can
rally around it. Like you said, beginning of the school, it has a lot of things working for it in terms of its position on the calendar and the structure of the sport itself. It's just a lot of fun. I love Friday nights in the fall.
Yeah,
the grill's rolling, the pork patties are emanating throughout the grounds. Oh.
Sure. You know, and then you get your traditional rivals where you got the stands are packed and, you know, it's kind of a neat thing. So,
it's great for the fans.
It is.
Sometimes I wonder if the coaches are able to stop and smell the pork patties, so to speak. And I know they don't usually.
They probably don't.
Stop and smell the pork patties.
That's right. Forget the roses. Forget the roses.
How can you miss that?
Mike, if you gave me the choice to either smell a rose or a pork patty, I'm sorry, I'm going patty.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm going patty.
You're not
wrong. What I'm doing.
That's just something I've never heard before. Stop. Why don't you stop?
Well, you've
and
never
smell
had
pork
a big porky then.
I have
before.
Had a big
oh,
porky.
You've had a
They're
big porky.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Okay.
They are delicious.
I will gladly endorse a big porky.
Yeah. Guys, you know, I was thinking earlier this week, you know, high school sports right around the corner. We talk all the time about how we're so fortunate with the great ADs and coaches that we get to deal with and the great parents and fans that you see show up to these games. And by and large, 99.9% of them are respectful across the board for every sport throughout the entire school year. And so then when I saw the clown show that is LeVar Ball earlier this week, it just got me shaking my head and I thought, you know, if I'm a parent, I'm thinking, you know what? That guy has actually set the bar so low for buffoonery at a child's sporting event that no matter what you do, you can't really surpass that guy. Mm-hmm. What an idiot.
Yeah. What else can you say about the guy? I mean, he's in a different alternate universe of some sort.
Bizarro world.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that he's there, though.
That's nice.
I will
nice.
Say that.
He is there.
Because there are
but
a lot
he's,
of...
why is he there?
Well.
He does care about his kids.
He cares about his kids because they're a means to his end.
I think they care. He cares about him.
He cares about the dollar signs his kids bring him.
I think he cares about his kids, too, though.
Does
they're,
he?
They're wi- I, his wife's going through a really difficult time right now.
Yeah, I'm not gonna sit here and claim that I know what is in LeVar Ball's mind, because I don't, and quite frankly, I'm glad that I don't.
Yeah.
But when you see him act the way that he acts, I'm glad that he's there for his kids and loves
his children.
Was
there one specific thing that really kind of just finalized it? Or is this an accumulation of things? It's kind of been a growing, cumulative
thing for me, but the bashing of the female official, I don't care for that. That's just, it's classless. It shows no class. My biggest issue with him, though, is that he's basically, if his son Lonzo had his mouth, if Lonzo Ball was saying all the stuff that LeVar Ball has said, I would have no problem with it. I would have no problem with it. That would just be a athlete who is cocky and confident in his beliefs, and he is so confident that he's going to be great. He's going to say these outlandish things, and he's going to go out, and he's either going to back it up or he's not.
Yeah.
But the problem is his daddy doesn't have to back any of it up.
Yeah.
He has laid it all at the feet of his children.
Nothing like putting a little pressure on the kid.
Oh, my
huh?
goodness. I mean, Lonzo Ball, he looks like a really good player, and he's got a lot of things working for him.
But he's never going to live up to any of the hype.
No, because now LeBron's mad.
Yeah.
Now Steph Curry's mad. Well, Russell Westbrook's mad. These guys are coming for him, and not because of anything he did, but because of stuff that his daddy did.
Yeah. LeBron might be his teammate in a couple of years.
Maybe, but he won't be next year.
No.
He won't be next year.
That's okay. They only play each other once or twice, and LeBron's not playing that game anyway.
Oh, he's playing it now.
Well, he might.
He's playing it now, and he's going to lock down on Lonzo Ball. He's playing it now. But this last incident, because he's been kicked out of two AAU games now, and he's made it all about him, and it's disgusting. But it just made me think about, you know, we see so many high school sports throughout the year. We see thousands and thousands of people that file into gymnasiums or athletic venues across the area. Nobody even thinks about acting like that. And I would like to think, Terry, that if there was a clown like that in the stands, they would be shouted down.
Yeah, yeah. And most likely, people who go to these ball games are parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, and they want their favorite player or, you know, child or nephew or whatever to do as well as they can. But they realize the safety of the free world is not at stake. It is just a game. And, you know, let's enjoy it while you can, because when you're young, you can enjoy this sort of thing. When you get old, you don't play it anymore. So, you know, 99.99999% of the athletes, once they get out of high school, they're done.
The I could have beat MJ was one of the worst of it, because it was like, dude, you averaged 2 points a game in college.
And they gave him, he was given multiple,
yes. Well, you just think about the ridiculousness of that statement.
The fact he could say that multiple times with a straight face is staggering.
Yeah.
But he was given so many chances to walk that back.
No, I can't.
And he doubled down.
Yeah.
It's
doubled
almost
down.
Like they should give him drug tests or something after saying
no
that.
Kidding.
You're like, why? Okay, he's obviously on something. Okay.
And see, then I actually do, I've come to like Lonzo a little bit more here as time has passed. But they asked him, he was on some talk show, and they asked him, could you beat Michael Jordan in one-on-one? He said, well, right now? He said, yeah, right now. I was like, yeah, I could beat him right now. That's, yes, because he's 50.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Maybe you could. I still might take MJ. But that's not a ludicrous statement. But no one's beaten MJ in his prime.
No.
No one.
Well, even so, like, even if they were talking about right now, he wouldn't beat him.
Oh, no, LeVar.
LeVar.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Because MJ can still play.
Oh, MJ would crush LeVar right now.
Yeah. Not at NBA level, but he can still play.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Because he still does play.
But, yeah, that's such a stupid thing to say.
Yeah.
But he, you know, it worked for him, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah, well, he's...
And that, you know, that's the way modern society is. Think of the most outlandish thing you could possibly think to say. Multiply it by 10. Say it.
And then get into the White House.
Yes. Well, yes. People will be upset about it for a while.
Yeah.
They'll scream from a mountaintop about how terrible and awful and ridiculous it is. And then they'll forget.
Yeah.
They'll move on to something else. You can say something more outlandish. Get yourself back in the news cycle. Yeah. And on it goes.
Sure.
But they've created a monster now.
Wow. Yeah. And you feel bad for the kid because no matter what he does,
terrible.
It's a no-win situation for him.
Yeah. He's marked. He's a marked man.
So.
But I guess the whole purpose of me bringing this up was I just want to say thank you to all the parents out there that we see as we, you know, football's a month away now. So in a month from now, all the way through the end of the school year, we will see a bunch of people file into high school athletic events. And I just want to thank you guys for the way that you conduct yourselves
and for
there.
People who invite us into their homes and listen to our broadcasts and into their cars and into wherever they
I would hate to have to describe on the radio a clown show like LeVar Ball, like describe those scenes on the radio. I'll take an hour delay for baby powder any day of the week over having to get that across. My goodness.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Hey, we need to get to a break here, but we got a couple of good interviews lined up.
We have a chance to talk with Steve Johnson from the Bottomley Roughing Shock Baseball Museum. That's a special event coming up in September. And then later on in the program, we're going to talk with Melissa Van Giesen, who we talk to every year about, making sure you're hydrated and what athletic trainers do at the local football games and some very interesting information. So that's coming up.
coming up here on Sports Saturday.
Well, it's been a while since we've caught up with our good friend Steve Johnson from the Bottomley Roughing Chalk Baseball Museum. And Steve, if memory serves me right, I think you're now serving as treasurer of the BSR Museum, which means you're in charge of the vast amounts of revenue that comes through the museum. So
that's correct. Yeah.
the Bottomley Roughing Chalk Baseball Museum, of course, located in Nokomis. And it still amazes me the number of people, especially from Montgomery County and the surrounding counties, who still haven't paid a visit to the museum. It's an absolutely terrific place to visit if you're a sports fan, and in particular if you're a baseball fan.
Yeah, we got a lot of nice memorabilia there. You know, whether it's stuff from when Bottomley Roofing and Chalk played in the early 20th century, and we've also got current items up there as well, and it's fun and interesting for anybody that's a baseball fan, a sports fan, or a fan of the surrounding area.
And the neat thing about it to me, Steve, is the fact that this, to my knowledge, and I did a little quick research on this, to my knowledge, this is the only museum and baseball museum with the name named after three Hall of Famers, and it sits right there in Nokomis.
Well, I didn't even know that fact, Terry, so I'm glad we can add that to our arsenal of items to promote the museum.
There you go. For folks who are not familiar with the origins of the baseball museum, it's kind of a quaint Americana kind of story, because really the museum can trace its history back to a diner.
Yes, about a half a block from where it sits now on West State Street, right on Route 16 in Nokomis. It started in the window of a restaurant, as you said, in 1981. Originally just named for Jim Bottomley and Red Roofing, who grew up in Nokomis. A short time later, a couple of years, I believe, they realized that, hey, Ray Schalk was from Litchfield, born in Harville, grew up in Litchfield. Let's put all three of them together. They're all in the Hall of Fame. Let's put this together and see what we can do. And we've moved a couple of times over the years, but we've been in our present location, probably 15 to 20 years now, and it's going real well.
And I know the present location you're very proud of. You've done an awful lot of work. It is a very nice facility, and the hours, I believe, are something like what, 9 to noon Saturday, and then Sunday afternoons, I believe, on a
regular
basis. That's
right. Yep, 1 to 4 on Sunday afternoons, and as you said, Saturday mornings from 9 to noon. And if you really want to come, you know, give us a call. Our information's on our website, brsmuseum.org. Get a hold of one of us, and we'll be glad to run up there and let you look through it at your leisure.
And the neat thing about this is, if you're a baseball coach, if you have kids that you're coaching and you know, in various levels of baseball, softball, whatever, it would be worth your while just to walk through the museum and take a look at some of the great memorabilia and the great souvenirs that you've collected over the years. I don't know. The number of people that have donated to the museum has been incredible.
Yeah, it's a long list. We've got some very good primary donors. We've got a gentleman that's donated a lot of old baseball cards, and we're talking 50s and previous, that are a very nice collection. You know, just people from everywhere, you know, giving us stuff and saying, hey, do you want this? Can I loan it to you? We're always glad to take stuff and put it on display and let people see what baseball's all about.
One of the interesting things you've got coming up this September is an honoree induction for 2017 at the BRS Museum. Let's talk a little bit about that. You've got some Major League Baseball, former major leaguers that are going to be involved in that, and some other folks. And I know one name at the top of the list is Izzy, Jason Isringhausen.
Yes, he's one of our six inductees that we're bringing in on Saturday, September the 9th. We're going to have a meal and a ceremony out at the Memorial Park House in Nokomis on the grounds of the high school, essentially, if you're familiar with where the high school is here in Nokomis. We're going to have Jason Isringhausen, as you said, former Cardinal. Gary Gaetti, another former Cardinal.
Yeah.
Former
yeah.
Lakelander.
Hey, well, you go Lakeland, that's right. Former Laker there, yeah. I think he's a... Was he a Centralia native, I believe?
Yes. Yeah, he's from Centralia. He's still coaching for the Sugar Land Skeeters of the Atlantic League. So he will be coaching, I believe, on September the 9th. So I don't think he's going to be able to attend. I'm not sure about Izzy either. the one major leaguer that we are pretty confident will be there will be Kirk Reeder, the former Expo and Giants pitcher from the 90s and the 2000s. He's from the Nashville, Illinois area.
Yeah, I believe he's from the small town of Hoyleton, if memory serves me right.
That sounds right.
And I think he graduated from Nashville High School. And I'll tell you one thing, Cardinals can never beat that guy.
He was a heck of a pitcher.
He was
sure.
A heck. I don't know how long his career spanned, but he was a good pitcher, a very serviceable pitcher for several years for the San Francisco Giants. So.
Yes, he was.
And,
yes, he was.
Also, I think you've got a Nokomis native involved in the induction ceremony.
We do. Mick Fieldbinder. He grew up in Nokomis. His family moved just before he entered high school, so he went to Rochester High School. Had a good pitching career there, went to the minor leagues. He pitched five or six seasons, I believe, in the minor leagues. Got as high as AA with the Brewers organization. Also played for the Twins organization, and then went on to become the pitching coach down at Samford University down in Alabama, at Samford with an M. Mm-hmm. He was there 9 or 10 years and has really gotten into the baseball thing, so we're bringing him aboard as well.
And one of my good friends, Roger Crotterville from Mont Olive, who has baseball.
Kind of done it all, hasn't he?
I tell you what, he's done it all. He has for years coached, of course, at Mont Olive. He's been principal. He held a lot of the baseball records at Eastern Illinois University for many, many years, and just a terrific person and a very good friend.
Yeah, and he's also, I believe, in the Eastern Athletics Hall of Fame, if I'm correct on that.
Yes, he is. And I know one thing that Roger, and we've had Roger on the sports show before, but he used to be a scout for the Cardinals. And, I mean, he used to, you know, be around the Cardinals and the youngsters when they would come in to have the big wigs have a look at him. So, you know, he's been involved in baseball from the get-go.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. And we've got one other person that's coming into the... Why don't you reveal who our sixth and final person is?
Well, I appreciate the honor and the invitation, and I really appreciate it. I know that the other guys have played baseball. I just talk a good game, or at least try to.
Well, very well deserving, Terry, to have you aboard as an honoree here at the museum.
Well, I appreciate that, and it's quite an honor to be included along with these guys, and especially Roger Crotterville, who I consider a very, very good friend. Steve, let's talk a little bit about the museum and how it functions, how it raises its money to stay open. Obviously, you're going to sell tickets for the honoree induction.
Right. We'll have a meal, like I said, and the ceremony combined, starting at 6 o'clock on the 9th of September. Tickets are $20 in advance, and you can get those from any director of the museum, or, you know, like I said, just email us. info@brsmuseum.org. After September the 1st, tickets will be $25.
Okay.
But that'll be, and we're limiting it to 200 tickets, just for the facility purposes.
Size of the facility. And, mm-hmm. and along with that, I know every year you have a big chilly warm-up, and that usually comes up, what, late January, early February, somewhere in that neighborhood?
Usually the first Saturday of February, so okay. Right around Super Bowl time.
All right. Yes, we base it on the Super Bowl, don't we?
Yeah.
But you know what? It may be a Super Bowl weekend, but you still talk a lot of baseball.
That's right, because everybody's excited about spring training because it's usually about 2 weeks away.
Steve, what makes the BRS Museum... You know, it fits kind of a special niche in the area. I guess it's unique only because it is kind of a hometown thing, but actually the level of what you have in the museum, I think, is just beyond the imagination of what a lot of people could think would be in a small museum like that.
Yeah, you know, we talk about the three main guys, but we have this with the six people coming aboard here in September, that puts our honoree enrollment, I think, at about 110. We usually have a criteria of about a 60-mile radius from Nokomis to be inducted, and you've had to have contributed significantly to the game of baseball. So that gives us a little bit of latitude. but we try to stick to that as much as we can. We've got a lot of deserving people that are in there, and we've got a lot of deserving people that are waiting to get in there, I would say, as honorees. You know, when you talk 60 miles, that's basically Carrollton to Jacksonville. I think Lincoln can sneak into that 60-mile radius from Nokomis, Charleston down to Centralia. So it's a pretty wide swath of central Illinois.
And a lot of people are surprised on the number of people, especially that got into professional baseball from this area. There is a ton of people that played professional baseball at one level or another.
Absolutely. You know, especially, you know, early in the 20th century where you had more minor league teams than you do today. But even now we have a lot of people that are still playing in the minor leagues and still trying to get that call up, and you still got people that are in the major leagues. And Jason Wirth is a prime example, coming from Chatham.
So the Bottomley Roughing Chalk Baseball Museum, still going strong, still one of the highlights, I think, of as far as tourist attractions is concerned in Montgomery County. And if you've never stopped by, you should really make an appointment to stop by and see the baseball museum. Thinking on down the line, Steve, what's in the future for the museum? Anything special coming up?
A few years ago,
you had a special display from the Smithsonian.
We did. That was back in 2014, and that was very, very successful for us. We were glad to host that. It was a great opportunity for us and for the communities around us to see what we were all about. Now, in conjunction with the induction ceremony on September the 9th, earlier that day, we are going to have three vintage baseball games out at the high school area. Teams from St. Louis, Alton, and Vandalia will be out there playing under the 1860s era rules.
That's when baseball was two words.
Absolutely, yes. It was base and ball. You got it. That'll be starting at 11 a.m. out at the Memorial Park. It'll be on the open grass field, if you're familiar, between the high school baseball diamond and what we call the South Diamond, so out toward the south end of the park. There's a big vintage baseballers request just an open field. They don't play with fences.
If you've never seen vintage baseball, there's a lot of similarities, but there's a lot of differences from the game today.
And in fact, I talked with Steve Hawkins, the coach there of the Vandalia team, and he says they'll be bringing some brochures. They'll have those available to kind of outline some of the differences between the current game and the game that they're going to be playing that day. You know, obviously some of the differences are the batter's out if you catch the ball on a bounce, as well as in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
Batter's out if he overruns first base.
And the batter or the runner can be put out, I believe, if you hit him with the ball when you throw the ball.
Could be. I don't.
I think that at one time was one of the rules. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like that rule, but you know.
Well, now he tells me there's no such thing as an umpire in there. Mm-hmm. The players try to figure it out on their own, but they do have what they call an arbiter available for a final ruling. So.
Are they going to be in their garb?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Period clothing. He was talking. I forget one of the teams. You know, dresses very. You know, very to the T as to what they do. Others are a little bit looser, I think, with the clothing. But we'll be excited to see what it looks like on the 9th of September. Again, that starts at 11 a.m.
Steve, if people have questions, give us some phone numbers again and the website, please.
You can get a hold of me at 563-2495. It's probably the best number to get a hold of us at this point. The website is brsmuseum.org, and the email is info@brsmuseum.org.
The Bottomley Roughing Chalk Baseball Museum. If you've never been there, you should get there, and you will certainly enjoy yourself. I guarantee that. Steve Johnson, thanks for joining us on Sports Saturday. Always a pleasure, my friend. We're looking forward to September.
Thanks for having me, Terry, and we're looking forward to September as well.
Joining us on WSMI Sports Saturday, Melissa Van Giesen, who is an athletic trainer and also the supervisor of rehab at the Teamwork Rehab in Hillsboro. And Melissa, thanks for joining us. We call upon your expertise every year.
Thank you.
To talk about all sorts of things, and in particular, since it's the summertime and since we have a lot of high school athletes that are getting involved in workouts and that sort of thing, First off, we want to mention hydration and how important it is to stay hydrated during this hot summer weather.
Yes, hydration is a big deal, but acclimation is almost more important than the hydration. So there's sometimes kids that may not do a lot of the pre-summer warm-up type things. They come in for practice way more rusty than the others that participated in the summer events, and those are the ones that we worry about the most because their bodies aren't acclimated to the heat and things that they need to do. So as long as those kids do the right things before the season actually starts and they take care of themselves beforehand, usually goes okay.
Are you talking about breaking a sweat and make sure that you're, you know, you're kind of in the mode, so
yes,
to speak?
Yes, yes. You don't want, sweating is important. You don't want to be in a situation where you're not sweating because that's bad. That means you've already hit that dehydration stage. But making sure that you, a lot of times kids will wake up in the morning and they don't drink before they go to practice. They just go straight out there. They don't eat. Those are all so bad no-nos too. So making sure that you get lots of water prior to it. And a lot of times the Gatorade and other things are pushed big time, but water truly is the most essential part of it. Gatorade's nice to refuel yourself maybe at the end or after, but not necessarily during. So water's always more important to fill yourself up with that during that time.
And basically when you eat, you're basically eating for like 24 hours ahead, aren't you?
Usually, yes. So a lot of times I try to push that with kids too. They think that drinking is always an important part, but refueling your body with everything is the most important thing. So making sure you have good salad, balanced meals. It's not eating the fried, greasy foods. Getting fruits and vegetables, the things that actually help replenish your body with different things. So making sure those are there, and then getting snacks as well, just not eating just those meals at those times. So even if you're not hungry for breakfast, eat something small and then have a snack as the day goes on. So I get that it's sometimes challenging when they have practice and then those certain times, but they get small little breaks to where if they feel like they needed to, I'm sure it could be an option. So
if I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. Have a banana, okay, and drink a bottle of water.
Yes, yes.
It's a pretty good idea, actually, right?
Yep.
So let's talk about the different things that can happen if you are dehydrated. You have heat stroke for one thing. Kind of explain to us what that is.
Yep. You can have heat exhaustion, which could be kind of a start of that too, where you're getting the symptoms prior to a heat stroke. So you don't want to get to those stages because you do actually stop sweating. Your body temperature changes to a level that you don't want it to. It can increase, of course, almost to where you have a temperature. Some people's change the opposite where they lose a temperature. It just depends on the type of situation. A lot of times if you're starting to get cramps are a step to all of those things. So if you're getting a cramp, that means you are already dehydrated. So you want to make sure that you're not getting those. So a lot of times later in the seasons, I hate the early games of the season because 90% of the time, I always have at least one kid, if not four or five kids, where they get a cramp in the third and fourth quarter of a football game, and it's because they didn't take care of themselves. Unfortunately, some kids just are prone to that, and they try. I always get, Mrs. V, I tried. I drank all this all day, and it just still didn't work. So some of those kids in our rural areas where they have to play both sides of the ball, it's a little bit harder for them to constantly get that replenishing. But if they're trying to take care of themselves, that's the most important part.
Is it possible that you can't drink enough to prepare yourself if you're playing the whole, say, high school football game all, you know, from start to finish?
Not necessarily, but there are people that their bodies just don't adapt as well, and they may not, it may not affect them. Unfortunately, we can't control that. There's just a chemical imbalance that some people have. So, but most of the time, if you do the right thing and you're drinking throughout the day, a lot of times I encourage kids, get a gallon of water and drink that whole gallon throughout the school day, because it's tough between classes and around times, and I get all that, but you can't just drink 5 minutes before the game and think that it's going to help, because it's not. You have to replenish your whole body all day long.
And it's about replenishing every cell in the body. It's not just your stomach.
Yes. Yes.
Basically, because all of this interacts. And of course, a cramp is just a symptom.
Yes.
It's just a symptom that's telling you, hey, something's not quite right here.
Right. And if there's old stories of kids that get full body cramps at some point, well, they are way past that initial stage. If you're getting a full body cramp, you are completely dehydrated and probably need to be hospitalized and get some kind of IV fluids and those kind of things, because you've reached the point that it's way past time that it's helpful that something small is going to help you. So,
and the good thing about it is the coaches that are involved in these workouts and these preparations, and they know all this stuff.
I mean,
they've become very educated about it.
Yeah,
I think the medical community and the athletic foundations like the mm-hmm. Illinois High School Association, they've made it a priority to make sure and take care of the kids.
Yes, yes. And the IHSA has done that really well. It frustrates some of the football coaches that have that old mentality of this is how we used to do it, and I get that, but it's truly for the good of the kids, and they're limited certain times of the day with certain kind of equipment at what times of the day, and it's all about that acclimation and making sure that they're good and not you don't have those. Just the heat exhaustion situations, you don't hear of them very much anymore. It's because there are the correct process and procedures that are being taken place for the health of the kids, honestly. So.
And there was a problem at one time, and they've handled it.
Yes.
They've taken care of it
and
tried to work through and put procedures in place. And that's really what it's all about, because you want a kid to be able to compete, the whole darn season and have fun doing it.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about nutrition. We touched on it just a little bit, but if you're an athlete, and it could be volleyball, it could be cross country, it could be golf, whatever, nutrition is important, and you mentioned staying away from fried foods and everything. But protein is a very big part of this to help keep your strength up. Give us some examples of what kids should be eating here. Not every day necessarily, but give us some examples.
Right. A good breakfast, something that you want to have a little bit of protein in your body. So obviously eggs are a good breakfast type food, sausage, bacon, those kind of things. You just don't want to go overboard. Everything's all in moderation. So even if you're not, like I try to encourage people, if you're not crazy hungry, try to have anywhere between a 300 and 400 calorie meal and have 100-200 calorie snack at those times. So trying to get a little bit more balance of not such huge giant meals at times. It's challenging for high school kids to understand that concept, because they're growing people, and they're hungry more often than not. And so it's hard for them to juggle that. But if you actually do those smaller things, it helps refuel your body throughout the whole entire day versus just that small little bit. So Subway is the perfect meal for a lot of kids. It's quick and easy, but it's got the health values in it, has a little bit of carbs. You need a little bit of all of it. So taking away those carbs isn't something you want to do. You still want to have those things in there. But, of course, any kind of fruit or vegetable snack, a nut or any of those kind of things. And you can use even a Gatorade type supplement as one of your snacks, because there's calories in those and it has the electrolytes. And so if you feel like I'm just not hungry, but I know I need something, you can use one of those as a snack. So that's a kind of a thing that variety is always a good choice as well. So not sticking with the same thing.
And with Gatorade, you do run into the sugar issue a little
correct,
bit, right?
Correct. Yeah. And there are different Gatorades has done research and done things where there's like a G2 now where it's not as much sugar intake in it. And it's a little bit less of those sugary type things that affect some of those people. So that is a good option as well, if you can find that.
You're an athletic trainer, which means you're at the ball games. You're taking care of these kids. Let's give some hints for some parents. Kids sometimes are pretty bullheaded.
Yes.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember far enough back I was that way. But what should parents be on the lookout for, Melissa, when maybe their child's been involved in an athletic endeavor, maybe get dinged in a contest, and they think they're all right, but the parents aren't quite sure? What things are they looking for? Of course, you're probably going to be one of the first persons at a football game to take a look at this player.
Yeah. Speaking of the ding, ding is kind of an old school way to reference a lot of things anymore. There's been enough research.
It's not a good term. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Just to help educate a little bit more, because so many people still think that a ding is okay, but it's really not. That's the start of a brain jostle and a brain injury and, a huge introduction to a concussion. So, in the past year at Hillsborough, we have recently been fortunate enough to have a program called Impact. Impact is a nationwide concussion baseline testing program that helps us as athletic trainers just utilize that as an objective measurement to determine our return to play situation for a kid. So it doesn't tell us what to do. It just helps give us some guidance, and it helps you understand the whole process of what's going on in someone's head. So we can't, it's the high school kids are good at figuring out how to get away with things. And so a lot of times I get to know these kids, but you're not with them all the time to get to know them that well. So this does help us be able to do that. But there's the things that you need to look for is the reaction of your child. You know your kid. If he's not, he or she is not acting right, that's truly a minimal sign. I mean, there's a lot of kids that I've been dealing with in the past year or two where they don't even get hit in the head. They get jostled more than anything. I've had several soccer players to where they've never even took a header. It was just they landed wrong or they hit shoulders with somebody else, and it was almost a whiplash type situation with their head, and they just started acting funny. And that truly is the sign. And those signs sometimes are the worst ones because it's longer for them. These kids where you see these big blows in a football game, you think that they're going to have a concussion. Most of the time, those ones do okay. It's the smaller ones that end up being longer procedures. So, and the hardest part truly is not only are they athletes, but they're students as well. So having to juggle and figure out the stimulation of their brain and calming it down, the less stimulation, the better. So that's what I try to tell everyone at most is you don't want these kids to go comatose into a sleep when a situation like this happens, but resting their brain is the most important part. And our whole lives are pushed with technology anymore. We're in front of a phone. We're in front of a computer always. And making them be away from those things is the most important part because that helps rest their brain. So
there are times that perhaps during the school year itself, they have to shut down classroom participation as well?
Yes, I have had to have a couple of kids where we have to get permission from the doctor and we have to calm things down at school because they truly are, they can interact well, they can do fairly well on our test. The test gives us five different categories, so you can usually see, and there's a little bit of a leeway in there, but you don't want too much of a leeway, but you can just tell that a kid, they get to know that when they go to school and they have to stimulate their brains, and there's a lot of smart kids anymore, and when they're in these higher level classes and they have to be stimulated with certain things, it really does mess with their heads and they can't focus, they can't be the person that they normally are, and they figure it out pretty quickly that school actually is a little bit of a damper, but they don't want to miss school because then they can't miss, they play in their sport. So it's a very challenging situation, but I have been lucky enough to where the physicians that I've been talking to, and I always do the test. I say this is what happens, and then we have to get permission from the doctor to return just for all of us to be on the right playing field. But I talk with them and give them my input about what's going on, and most of the time they are very helpful in helping me instruct the kids and the teachers and coaches on what the proper thing to do is. So,
Melissa, we've talked about how kids act or react once they've maybe had a blow to the head or been jostled. Let's talk a little bit about the brain itself and how it functions and what happens when this sort of event occurs. And like you said, maybe it's just it's an awkward kind of collision with an opponent. And what happens?
Basically, your brain is encompassed by some fluid. So you're between your brain and your skull. When that fluid gets hit, it's like getting a bruise. Your brain may not be affected as always, but your head gets that little bit of bruising can cause that more extensive concussion than some of them that are not. So it's extremely complicated because the jostling of your head can cause more of a problem sometimes than the direct blow. So sure, those people do still, if they get a direct blow, could still be affected, if not more. But I've recently found that there has been more kids that have been affected by the indirect situations than those direct situations. So,
and more kids obviously would be susceptible. I mean, they're, people are more susceptible in life to all sorts of things, and some kids would probably be more susceptible to a concussion-type injury.
Right, right. And there has been a couple situations where I've had kids that have had them before, and they seem to, unfortunately, have more situations later. Yeah. But it seems like if we take care of it correctly in the beginning and they learn not to ignore it, that it responds so much better if it's done correctly in the beginning. And they don't have these symptoms for weeks on end that cause problems to where they're missing lots of activity anyways.
When you first got into the business, you hardly talked about any of this kind of stuff, right?
Right.
The educational process has come along and informed us about head injuries and concussions. it's absolutely amazing what they know now as far as the medical community is concerned, and how, you know, schools and organizations have responded to keep kids safe. I think it's wonderful, and it was probably a long time coming.
Right, right. And it's helpful for our jobs. It's, I mean, as soon as a football game starts, they're automatically looking for an athletic trainer. The IHSA really pushes that, and there's a lot of schools that don't have an athletic trainer, but every time I go there, I kind of make the point of, I am here, I can help make the decision. This team doesn't have it. I'm more than willing to help always. So it's nice that the officials are looking for those people, and they want to make sure that the kids are safe and they're not ignoring the situation. So it makes the job easier for all of us, that we're all on the same level and the same ideas of what's going on, and doesn't make my job hard. It's so much easier.
So if a kid does get injured, and we mentioned this just a little bit briefly in our earlier conversation, but what's the procedure, say at a football game, a kid is injured, and what do you look for? What are the signs that you're looking for, Melissa?
If you're directly talking about a concussion, uh-huh. we're basically their response and reaction time to things, their ability to answer a question. Then you have to test their physical ability, if they can maintain certain things, just standing situations, if they have to be active as well. And then you go back to testing their brain as far as if they can remember some of those same questions that you asked in the beginning. And so honestly, it's all about conversation and being able to talk to them without seeing that weird, awkward situation. So it's getting to know, yeah, the situation is just not quite right. So you can't be afraid to ask questions and get to know them. And there are situations where I've been in where I didn't know the kid at all, and you can just tell that something's just not quite right. So it's just the way that they can conversate and respond to you, as far as each little level of cognition that you have to test, their memory, their vision, their physical ability to do things. So, and just how they react to all those things.
A lot of youngsters are involved in youth programs. A lot of these youth programs obviously don't have an athletic trainer around.
Correct.
So it's important for parents to at least have some working knowledge of taking care of, I think, the younger athletes. If there's ever a question, they probably should err on the side of safety.
Always, always. And it's really, truly just better for the kid and the whole entire situation if they are unsure. Rest is best. I know it's frustrating for a lot of people, but when it comes to your brain, I kind of have a mentality when it's a ankle sprain or it's a shoulder or a leg, we can do these stretch, we can do that, and you can try it. But when it comes to a head thing, you can't ignore it. You can't ignore those little moments. And a headache is part of a concussion symptom. So there's a lot of kids where they'll say, I feel really good, I don't have any problems, but I still have a little bit of a headache. Well, then you aren't better. You're not healed. So that headache is something you're not supposed to have. So it's a reaction to your brain not being able to function, and your brain's telling you, I'm still not good. So it's best to listen.
Are there bits of information about this sort of stuff on a website someplace, Melissa?
I reference IMPACT. It's IMPACT.
Okay.
They have general information out there for parents and coaches and kids and things like that. And that's really what the guidelines that we follow anymore, because it's so nice that we were able to fall back on that and use it. And it's nice because we received a grant last year to help us pay for this. And so all of the kids at both of the schools at Hillsborough and Nokomis that we service, they were able to, from seventh grade to up to seniors, be able to take this baseline test. So then they don't have to take it again for another 2 years. So this year we're just catching those few new kids in the district, or kids that may not have played in a junior high sport of the ones that we tested. So there was just a handful of them. And then next year we'll have to look at how to figure out to pay for it. But the hospital has been awesome and supportive in it, and being able to understand the benefit of the community. So it's helped my job. And I think in the safety and spectrum of all the kids, there's been so much positive feedback from everybody that I don't see why it wouldn't be an option anymore. So, and once you get started and truly training myself, and then we have another athletic trainer, his name's Eldon Reed. He goes to our Nokomis school mainly, but both of us are now certified, so the cost of it's way less than what it ever will be. So, but it's the cost isn't is minute compared to what the benefits are of it.
So. And now athletes are used to it. Yeah. You know, they're part of this program now, so it's not unusual for them to be tested if need be.
Right. So. And the nice thing is that we have had a couple of situations where there's been some kids that are having some severe symptoms, and there's a concussion specialist in Springfield, Dr. Sharma, and he is able to see the computer. We just have to tell them the kids' password and their login number that's attached to their name, and he can look at all the things and instruct and guide, and 9 times out of 10, we're both on the same page without even talking to each other. We can just look at it, and he encourages the parents, yep, this is what's going on. So it's very nice that we have that option without even really having to reach out too much. So,
Melissa, you're a busy woman, and we appreciate everything that you do for the community and for the athletes of the area and for Sports Saturday, because we call upon you, and you always are willing to come out and talk to us about safety in many different ways, and we appreciate it. And continued success, and we'll see you this football season,
all
kiddo.
All right, thank you.
9:55 on this Saturday morning, and back to Sports Saturday, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Cardinal baseball for you tonight, live at 5:20 a.m., 1540 and FM 106.9, as the Cardinals hosting the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Redbirds looking a little bit better since they called up some of the youngsters.
The youngsters are acting like they want to keep a job.
How about that? I think they found their shortstop.
Yeah. I think he's the real deal, don't you?
They've really been looking for that shortstop since Edgar Renteria.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they had Eckstein for 3 years.
Yeah, but that never felt like a long-term thing. That mm-hmm. always felt
yeah.
short-term.
Yeah, they just, you know.
Renteria was only there for 4 or 5.
Yeah, but my point is, when Renteria showed up, the mindset was, this guy's going to be the shortstop for the okay. foreseeable future. Yeah. When Eckstein showed up, it's like, this guy's a stopgap.
Yeah.
Paul DeJong feels like he could be the shortstop for 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. So, I you know, it's good to see these kids excelling.
Yes.
You got to feel good for Tommy Pham, who has put his time in the minor leagues all these years.
He's thrown his name into the trade market. He's being shopped, too.
Is he really?
A lot of teams are interested, or a few teams are interested, the Nationals being one of them.
If I'm Tommy Pham, with his history, I am literally wrapping myself up in bubble wrap when I leave the ballpark.
That's right.
Not taking any chances. No chances.
You realize how close he is to being a 2020 guy this year?
Oh, he's
20
right
home
there.
Runs, 20 stolen bases.
He's been dynamite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hadn't even
yeah.
played the full season.
Yeah.
Two.
If that guy could see, he would have had $100 million in the bank playing baseball by
yeah.
now. If his
yeah.
vision was that right. of a normal major leaguer. Because with his talent, mm-hmm. it's off the charts. If the poor guy could just see
you. Know.
It was more than just the eyes. He was glass bones.
Well, he yeah. was. But point is, if his vision was there, yeah. he would have gotten...
Yeah,
you know,
the
one thing about the youngsters, when they hit a ground ball, they run hard to first base.
How about that?
All the way to first base, they run hard, you know?
They almost beat it out. They finally got some of the speed and athleticism
yeah.
that we've been longing for a number yeah. of years. We saw it with Sierra earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This Bader kid is ridiculously fast. DeJong gets up and down the line.
Voit.
Wong can obviously yeah. run. So, I mean, you can see the pieces. Like, it's been a frustrating year, and, you know, the Cardinals are not the 27 Yankees. Let's not kid ourselves. But you can see they're not that far off. You know, they've got the young pitching. They've got the young position players. It's just a matter of putting it all together.
Well, and I think it's a couple of additions from the outside that tends to pull everything together.
Remember a couple years ago when they had Shelby Miller and Carlos Martinez both? You knew that somebody was getting traded.
Yeah.
It just came down to don't trade the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't. They yeah. kept Carlos. Well done. They've got all these outfielders now. Multiple guys are going away
yes.
for somebody.
They've
just
still
don't
got
trade
more.
The wrong one.
They've
That's
still
right.
got more in the system, too.
Exactly.
That's the only,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're
exactly.
They're stocked.
And one thing very quickly before we run out of time here with Lance Lynn. You know, if it was
keep
Lance
yes.
Lynn because he's coming off – Tommy John surgery, he's going to be stronger next year. I think he's a guy that could be in a Cardinal uniform for several years, and I think he, you know, the guy throws strikes and he throws fastballs.
Bulldog.
So, yeah.
2 years from now,
so.
You have confidence Michael Wacha's going to be there?
No.
2 years from now, you have confidence Wainwright's going to be there?
I'm not confident Michael Wacha will be there in September.
I'm not either. So if everything is equal, I feel much better with Lance Lynn and Carlos
yeah.
Martinez at the top of my rotation 3 years from now.
Yeah. Yeah. I do.
But with
do.
Mike Leake in the rotation, chances are they aren't going to offer the contract Lynn is going to be offered by other teams. And that's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah.
And you're exactly right,
yeah.
but I hope they keep Lynn.
Yeah.
Bulldog.
I think it would be a wise decision.
So. That being said, the way Lynn has talked, he would maybe entertain a discount. We'll see.
Yes, be a nice discount he's going to get.
Yeah.
Nice discount.
Hey, thanks. It's a great weekend.
Absolutely. Going to be a gorgeous weekend. Thank you so much to Steve Johnson and Melissa Van Giesen for their time this morning on Sports Saturday. We're finished. For David and Terry, I'm Tim on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. Have a great weekend, everybody.